and you're listening to my good friend, my cousin, Mike Miller, right here on the Harmony Street Radio Show.
Hi there, I'm Shirley Austin Reeves, the original lead singer of the Shirelles, and you're listening to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Great. Give me one more.
Nope. Okay. Hello there. I'm Shirley Austin Reeves, the original lead singer of the Shirelles, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. Hi, Mike. How you doing, baby? Love you, Mike.
Hi, this is Little Anthony of Little Anthony Imperials, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Negron, formerly of Three Dog Night, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hello, everybody. This is Wally Roker of the original Heartbeats. 1,000 miles away, crazy for you, down on my knees, on and on and on. We love you. And you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder. Oh. Home. I'm sad and blue and all alone. Come back to me. Don't leave me in misery. I sit and cry. Sometimes I wonder, oh, will she come home? I'm sad and blue and all alone. Come back to me. Don't leave me in misery. Sometimes I wonder,
sometimes I wonder. Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my pleasure to have on the show R&B royalty, original founding member of the Heartbeats, Mr. Wally Roker. How you doing, Wally?
Fine, Mike. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you're an R&B legend, and, you know, I'm not going to make light of it. If not for you and the Heartbeats, there would not have been a lot of other groups that recorded this music, because so many groups try to emulate you. Let's just start with your background. You were born and raised where, Wally?
I was born in the Virgin Islands, Frederickstead, St. Croix.
Uh-huh.
And then I moved to the Bronx. In New York when I was about 8 years old.
Uh-huh. Well, I have a little aside there. I was a Parkchester kid, and I was the dean at Castle Hill Junior High School for about 30 years. So I was a Bronx kid, too, and I learned how to swim at Castle Hill Pool. So there you go.
Well, I went to PS 54, which is when I started, when I got to the Bronx. And then I also went to the Forest House, which I stayed until my mother got home from work.
Huh.
So that was my beginning of being a part of the motherland, you know?
Well, what's really interesting, too, is that in the student body, I had two kids during those years. And I started, you know, in the late 60s. One was Jimmy Jr. and the other one was Paul Keyes, and they were Jimmy Keyes' son, and I'm sure you knew Jimmy from the chords.
I'm pretty sure I did. In fact, he lived on one block over from where I lived. I lived at 811 Ritter Place.
Right.
And he lived on Jennings Street, which was a block away.
Right. Well, you know, they were not such great kids, you know, and I had to call Jimmy into my office quite often, and he would come in with the shark.
Oh, we used to have a lot of fights. We had like block fights. Yeah, it was a rough time back in the 50s when I was living there, you know, plus I had a little bit of an accent.
That's funny.
You know, from the island.
That's funny.
There was always a brow, some kind of, you know, battle going on between Jennings Street and Ritter Place and whatnot, you know.
Yeah, yeah. When did you realize, at what age did you realize that you were musical and you could really sing a good song? Were you a young guy?
When I was in high school,
uh-huh.
I was actually, I sang in a choir at my church, you know, which was a Lutheran church.
Right.
Because I was Lutheran coming out of the islands.
Uh-huh.
And a little church over on New York Avenue, you know, in South Ozone Park. And then when Vernon and, Vernon and Crump said to me, we need a bass. We need somebody that has a bass, you know,
uh-huh.
or to beat, you know, something to fatten up this thing and whatnot. So
right.
I said, well, I'll be glad to try it. So we got together, you know, in the bathroom with Woodville Wilson and started working on it, and it started coming together.
What year was that?
That was when I was about, I guess, 15, 16.
Wow, wow. And, of course, we know that some of the best singing on the planet was done in the bathroom, you know, with the tile, because that's where you got a little bit of an echo. Some great groups were formed in the bathroom.
Yeah, we sounded like we had a great voice, you know, the voice come back at you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It came back at you. But we rehearsed 7 days a week.
Wow. And, you know, when you rehearse 7 days a week, because I know because I've done that, you start to learn how to think alike and breathe together, and it becomes really tight.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Our harmony was very, very strong, and we just made sure that it stayed strong in reference to every song that we did. We wrote the backgrounds and the songs together with Shep when he was working on it.
Right.
We just never took credit for it. We just did it because we enjoy doing it.
Right. In other words, it would evolve out of just, you know, playing with it and tossing it back and forth and doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm going to say something, of course. You could take five really good singers and put them in a room and they could be excellent singers, but not all good singers can get a blend. And really, I always feel, if I may, that when you really get a good blend, it's like a spiritual experience. There's no feeling like hitting very tight harmony with four other guys. If you haven't done it, you don't know what it is, and you haven't experienced it, you've missed something.
It's hitting a chord with a feeling. You can
right.
hit a chord without a feeling.
Right.
But you can hit a chord with a feeling.
You got it.
And with, let's say, a magical, it's like, it has like a magical tone to it.
Right.
Where it just feels like it's one person singing, but there's five, you know, coming out, you know, of the chord.
I agree with you 100%. As far as bass singers go, you know, there have been a lot of bass singers singing this music, but there is a short list, and you're on that list, of bass singers that had really good intonation, whereas the two ways of mixing a bass, you know, a la, let's say, the Skyliners, where the bass was very much in the mix and you really have to listen hard to hear it, or having the bass as a separate entity, you know, giving it a life of its own. And a lot of times in groups, you know, because the bass is a third below everything else, it sticks out.
Well, the Spaniels, Pookie Hudson, the Spaniels, they had a great bass in reference to, I guess, Goodnight,
Sweetheart, yes, was mm-hmm. one, and a few others where the bass line was very, very prominent. Also, Wally Roca is on that list of bass singers that really made their mark in this genre, if I may say so.
Yeah, we grooved. The bass was a groove, you know, it was like, Actually, the A side of 1,000 Miles Away was Oh Baby Don't.
Right.
Which is a song that I sang, you know, in connection with the only song I really sang with the Heartbeats was Oh Baby Don't. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I do. And that was pretty much of a bass lead.
Yeah, right. I was beat on that, and it was like a great, great song, and it's a great, great feeling. And it's the only one that Shep did the high, high voice
right
on the, you know, on the break.
Oh baby, don't take your love from me.
Because I'll never
set you free.
You know you've been
my heart's song.
Oh, won't you come?
Oh, baby, I'm waiting for.
Oh, hear my plea.
Oh, hear my humble plea.
Oh baby,
don't take your love from me.
Because you know
I love you so.
And that I'll never
let you go.
You can't measure. Because
it's deeper than the deep blue sea.
Oh, make it last
for eternity.
Oh, baby, don't
take your love from me.
Don't take
your love
from me.
Because you know
I love you so.
And that I'll never
let you go.
You can't measure
my love for thee.
Because it's deeper.
It's deeper than the deep blue sea.
Make it last
through all eternity.
Oh baby, don't
take your love from me.
Oh baby, don't
go. Oh baby, don't go. Oh baby, don't go. Oh baby, don't go. Oh baby, don't go.
I read somewhere that you would speak at assembly programs at school. Now, I never had the guts to do that. I was too shy at that age to get up in front of people and talk, but I was okay to sing, you know, but talking.
Yeah.
You know, I was too shy. So, tell me about that.
I actually was the guy that showed the movies and all that kind of stuff, you know, in the school.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, at the time you had, we had classes where you show a movie and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
And I was the guy that did that kind of stuff in Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, well, in my school, we showed movies when the teachers didn't feel like teaching. Or on a day when it was a snow day, and the teachers that lived around the corner didn't come into school, but the teachers that lived in Westchester, you know, an hour away, they all braved the snow and came in. Teachers that lived around the corner didn't come. It was funny. You know, you're singing in the bathroom, and all of a sudden you decide to do this wonderful group, which you called The Hearts. At that time.
Yeah. That's what we started out as, the Hearts.
Right.
And we sang everywhere. We sang at the St. Albans Park. We sang, in Vernon's house.
Right.
We sang at my house. And we went back and forth. We sang at Crump's house also.
Right.
We did some Crump in South Ozone. We did some Wally Roker in St. Albans.
Right.
And we did Vernon in... Springfield Gardens.
I know Springfield Gardens.
We did Springfield Gardens, St. Albans, and South Ozone Park.
Well, you know, but the great thing about singing a cappella and just chiming off and hitting it is you could take it anywhere you wanted to go, to the beach, to the street corner. They didn't have malls in those days, but I'll bet you guys would have been at the mall, you know, keeping people from shopping as well.
Yeah, well, the thing is that we didn't have a band, that's for sure.
Right. No, I know what you mean. And most guys in those days didn't know what a pitch pipe was either. And yet they would just chime off and sing.
No, we were so well rehearsed that we hit all our notes based on just memory and the feeling, you know.
Right, right.
Everybody knew exactly what the tone should be and what the key should be based on just doing it as much as we do.
Right, that's fabulous. So at that time, initially with that group, who were the members of that group that were with the Hearts that eventually became the Heartbeats?
Oh, all the original members are Robert Tatum,
right.
Second tenor.
Right.
Albert Crump, first tenor.
Right.
Vernon Stevens, baritone.
Right.
James Shepherd,
right.
Lead.
Right.
And Wally Roker. Actually, it's the four of us was together first. Actually, the four of us actually did a television show for Ralph Cooper at a dance recital for Bernice Johnson at the RKO Theater on Jamaica Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And at that particular place, we sang Three Coins in a Fountain. Albert Crump sang lead on that, and we did Three Coins in a Fountain as a song. Where girls were balleting and dancing and all that kind of stuff, and we did, it was a television show also. They televised it.
Wow! Now, if I remember correctly, in the Bronx, though, they also used to have some rock and roll shows in Fordham. I think maybe at the Palace and the RKO in the Bronx, they used to have some of those old rock and roll shows as well.
Yeah, they did. This one was on Jamaica Avenue
right. In
Long Island, and they did have shows in the Bronx and different RKO theaters and whatnot, too, but we never did the Bronx like that. We actually, we played schools and stuff all over the metropolitan area.
Right, which was great. Now, so here's the group. You're now the Heartbeats, and of course...
Before we became the Heartbeats,
right.
We sang in the basement of Illinois Jacquette,
right.
the saxophone player,
uh-huh.
Begging him for some help, you know, and
right.
Letting him know that we want to do our thing. So he sent us to his brother, Russell Jacquette, a trumpet player,
right.
Uptown New York, who was supposed to be starting a record company called United Records or something like that.
Right.
And we did record three or four songs with him.
Right.
But one was Tormented.
Right.
And a couple of others with him. And we had some of the top jazz musicians, because that's what he was, a jazz player.
Right.
Working on the...
What do you think? My heart is made of, I can't stand this torment, my dear.
With every sunrise, my heart weeps for you. My heart weeps for you.
I don't mind waiting for you, but what can I do?
Oh, pretty baby. Sunrise, my
that you found out how much I love you. Now that you found out how much I care, oh, will you give me a chance, my darling? Oh, will you just leave me to drown in my tears
with every sunrise? Heart weeps for you.
I don't mind waiting for you, but what can I do?
After Everybody's Gone, that was one of the tunes that was recorded at that time, too.
That's right.
Everybody's gone and my baby's still here. Uh-oh. Sit down, baby, and have a little beer. We're gonna rock tonight. We're gonna rock tonight. We're gonna have a party after everybody's gone. Well, she said rock. Rock, rock, baby, daddy, rock, 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 little baby, rock, 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 baby, daddy, rock, 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 little baby, 'cause we're gonna have a party after everybody's gone. Well, I said, sit down, baby, sit in that chair. Don't keep me in the trouble, 'cause ain't nobody here. We're gonna rock tonight. We're gonna rock tonight. We're gonna have a party after everybody's gone.
James Shepherd was the lead on those two tunes.
We found James Shepherd because we wanted a fifth voice, and we wanted somebody that possibly could write songs and stuff like that. So
right.
We, the guys in the park and the different people says, yeah, James has got a good voice, and James, you know, is a good guy and all that kind of stuff. So
right.
We went, looked him up and got him together and put him with the group.
Right, right.
And then it was the five of us.
Gotcha. There was a song called Smiling Pretty Eddie. You
know?
What? Tell me about that song.
One of our, let's say, Floating by the Night manager in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
He lived in Brooklyn. He was pretty Smiling Pretty Eddie.
Uh-huh.
He used to be an MC, and he, you know, had shows in Brooklyn, and he tried to handle us for a while.
Right, right. So I wouldn't buy a used car from anybody named Smiling Pretty Eddie, though.
It was a joke. It was a joke. It was funny. And it really was a hell of a time that we were having with him.
That's cool. One of the things that I realized, because everybody knows, you know, the heartbeats and the hits that you have, was that you guys were always in the studio. You guys must have recorded well over 100 songs, and more of them needed to be heard. And a lot of them were tunes that should have been in the top 10, but for some reason weren't there.
They weren't worked. They were with Dee Castlin didn't have the financial backing to be able to promote it and market it. That's one of the reasons why I took 1,000 miles away to, I asked permission from her to take it to, George Goldner at that time, because he had the money behind him to promote a record.
Right.
And I said, most of the people can't even buy our record because you can't afford to manufacture it.
Right.
And I said, we're going to lose a good record if we don't get it manufactured and into the market.
Right.
And that's why I asked permission from her to take it to George Goldner. She said, okay, if you want to work, you want to, you want to make the most out of it. I said, yeah, I'm trying to make the most out of it.
You're 1,000 miles away, but I still have your love to remember you by. Oh, my darling, dry your eyes. Daddy's coming home soon. On my knees every day, all I do is pray, baby, just for you. Hope you always want me to. Daddy's coming home soon. But no matter what the day is, I'm going to make it my business to get home soon. Daddy's coming home soon.
Right, right. Well, I live very close to Terry Johnson, and my wife and I go out with Terry and Teresa a lot, and he tells me all of these Goldner stories, some of them good, some of them not so good.
Oh, yeah, he was quite a character.
Yeah.
George Goldner was one of the super characters of the industry.
I
love him. I love him. He was right next door to me when I was doing my Scepter trip, developing Scepter. He played a record from morning until night, the same record, over and over and over.
Wow.
In the building, through the whole building.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, and then, of course, more recording, Crazy for You, which is a great, great tune.
You're driving me crazy, oh my darling, where have you been? I think of you, darling, and tears just flow.
Rockin' and rolling and rhythm and blues.
Yes, the rockin' and the rollin'.
We had to make sure we did it so that it came out
where it sounded like it was maybe on five mics, you know, but...
I know that deal. It's like you stand on that spot and don't move until lunchtime. I know how that is because, you know, everybody's voice, you know, you got to get the blend and who's going to be listening, you know.
Yep.
High Dramatic Drive.
High Dramatic, baby, she's a real fine chick. She drives as smooth as she starts to quick. She's got a high dramatic drive. She's got a high dramatic drive. When you put her together, she rides, she rides, she rides. Well, you put her together, step on the gas. Wherever you go and you get there fast. Cause she's got a high dramatic drive. She's got a high dramatic drive. When you put her together, she rides, she rides, she rides. Yeah, yeah, she rides.
She rides so smooth.
Oh, she rides.
She rides so smooth.
Well, she rides.
She rides so smooth.
Yeah, she rides.
She rides so smooth.
Wow, because, you know, in those days, they did have high dramatic. We don't use that term much anymore.
No. But that was a monaural record back in those days.
Wow.
Monaural record. Everybody was on one track.
Well, I know, you know, when you went into the big studios and you recorded with a bigger group, I know that most people don't know this. If the drummer dropped a drumstick, you had to start all over again. It wasn't like it is nowadays where you could just punch in, you know, the chorus and you edit it in, you know.
The drummer dropped the drumstick, you killed the whole record. You got to start all over again.
Exactly right, you know, and that's
very
interesting.
It's like one of the voices being too loud, and you got to adjust it and come back and do it again until it's all adjusted.
No, I know, you know, and there's not, in those days, they only could do a little bit of tweaking, you know, a little bit with the EQ and whatever, but it all had to be there at once. And then, of course, very early on, you guys did the Apollo, which, you know, Be Still My Heart. You know, all the groups wanted to go to the Apollo, but the Heartbeats did.
Yeah, well, we had a number one record with Crazy For You on Tommy Smalls, Dr. Jive, WWRL.
Right.
And I bugged him until he put us on the show.
Wow. Well, you know, if it works, it works. Then when you go out and you do a great job, then they pretend it was their idea all along, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So, and of course you did the Alan Freed shows and...
It was after when we had 1,000 miles away, we did the Alan Freed shows.
Right. Now, did you guys do the Brooklyn Fox with Murray and the Paramount also?
We did the Fox, I think, with Jocko.
Right.
We did something else with Jocko. We didn't do it with Murray the K.
Right.
We were with Jocko and Dr. Jive, you know, Tommy Smalls.
Right, right.
And we didn't do Murray. We didn't do Murray's show. We just did several Alan Freed shows.
And, of course, you were in great company there. And then, for some reason, I read that there was a Teen Report magazine article that everybody really got high on. And that was very instrumental in moving the group and more people finding out about the Heartbeats.
Well, we also used to back up a lot of different artists. Like, we backed up Jesse Belvin on Goodnight, My Love at the Paramount. And we backed him up at the Apollo also.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's 1956, and more recording. And then, of course, comes, you know, that wonderful tune that every a cappella group loves to think that they can sing, Your Way. And what a great tune.
Yeah. One of our favorite songs for the audience. They love that, Your Way. Kenny Vance covered it.
Yes, he did.
Several acts covered it and tried to put it in. They even covered New Year's Eve Is Over.
Oh, right.
On certain things also.
Right. Well, you know, Your Way, and, you know, there are groups that like to chime off at the end of a record. And that, a lot of groups tried to use that as their signature. But the chime at the end of Your Way probably is, I will go out on a limb and say that it is the most perfect chime of an R&B song of any of the R&B songs that were ever recorded. It just is something that has a life of its own. I think you understand what I'm saying.
You always will remember.
Did you have a ball? make a resolution to the one you love? Did you tell her that she'll always be the one you're thinking of? Did you have a ball on New Year's Eve? It will come again, but baby, not too soon. 365 days, and maybe a
I'm sure you guys warmed up a little bit before TJ said, come on out, guys.
Well, it took a year for me to get the guys to do it.
Wow. Well, that's what happens sometimes, you know?
The only people who wanted to do it was Vernon and myself.
Right.
And we had to convince Albert and Robbie to come on in and do it, you know?
Wow.
So they finally committed to doing it. So that was like the last year or so that the four originals really sang together,
wow,
which was basically a harmony of the Heartbeats, and we used Albert Crump's brother, which is Walter Crump,
right,
to do lead because he sang and even looked a little bit like James Shepherd, you know.
Wow. Hey, listen, you should have called me. I would have been there.
Actually, that's one of the reasons why we did the show is because the Limelight said that they're getting a tremendous amount of requests,
right,
for the Heartbeat songs.
Right.
And then there were several different guys trying to put themselves together, calling themselves the Heartbeats out of Baltimore and different places and,
wow,
using our music. So he begged, at that time it was Bassett, from the Limelight, begged us to come,
right,
back and,
right,
and you know, and do a show.
Right.
The combination of Bastion and the combination of Ronnie Ice,
wow,
begging us to come back is how we got back for real.
Right. Well, Ronnie did a lot of that, you know. He was great. I had my Harmony Street group. We were three girls, myself and a bass singer, and it was a little bit different. You know, we did a lot of shows with the Sheps Limelight group, you know, during the late 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, we worked with them once in a while, whatever. I'm trying to think of who used to hang around with them. Is the guy from the Ink Spots, Billy Godwin.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Godwin.
He lived around the corner from the guy who was doing the lead for the Limelight.
Right.
Al.
Right.
Bill was one of the Ink Spots. You're right.
Right.
I met him. Yeah, you know, some time ago. Bill Godwin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Darling How Long and People Are Talking. I mean, they're right up there with Your Way. These are R&B classics.
Do-do-do.
How long must I wait? How long must I pray? Oh, I need your love, I need your heart. How long, darling, how long? How long, how long will it last? How far from the past? I need your love, I need your heart. How long, darling, how long?
How long will it last? How far from the past? Darling,
God meant it to be.
Well, when you went into the studio and did these tunes, you know, especially Your Way or A Thousand Miles Away, let's pick A Thousand Miles Away. When you finished recording that, did you know what you had? Did you walk out of there saying, wow?
Nope.
Or did you?
We just thought it was another song. We just thought it was another song. And, you know, like we put the special background, which is just as important as the song itself.
Right.
Where it sort of like puts it into a different category as far as the background singing and the arrangement on the background singing.
Right.
Is the combination of what makes it pretty and nice, you know, and special.
Right, absolutely. There are two different types of groups. There are groups that come in and just blow it out on the first or second take, or there are groups that are never satisfied and they do 22 takes and then they come back and pick the second one. Which group were you?
we did pretty fast. We went pretty fast.
Yeah.
We were so well rehearsed when we got there. The only problem that we could have is the engineer not capturing us properly.
Gotcha.
So the only thing that would make us re-record something is that he missed something in the recording.
Yeah, it's like he had to re-mic it because the blend was a little bit, you know, he wasn't on it. Yep.
Yep.
Because nowadays, you know, you sit in a room and you roll along and you do the tune and the engineer stops you every 2 seconds and goes, give me that line again. Give me that. And he punches it in, you know, and it's like, you know, you can go line by line, but it loses part of the spontaneity and the warmth.
Like how we did other groups in the future, we used to stop them and re-record a word sometimes, you know, like,
oh yeah.
You know,
oh yeah.
We had to do that, well, you know, to make it all happen right.
And now they even have that ugly thing called pitch correction.
Somebody's out of pitch, you can put it through this little computer and put it all in pitch. Yeah.
Yep.
You can make a bad singing person sound brilliant.
I went to see Olivia Newton-John at the Kravis Theater in Palm Beach about 10 years ago, and I got backstage, of course, you know, and I was talking to her, and I said, wow, you know, she was up there with like 5 background singers and a 22-piece orchestra, and I said, really? I said, it's amazing. You were right on your notes all night, you know, and she did like an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes or whatever. She looked at me and she says, pitch correction. You know, we do live pitch correction before, by the time.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Jackson carried all that kind of stuff out with him also.
Yeah.
So he could keep it together. Yeah, pitch correction was a very important factor in reference to live shows around the world.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, the groups that are the R&B groups, and of course, you know, Jimmy Keys used to yell at me, and Anthony corrects me sometimes too, and he says, we never sang a note of doo-wop in our lives, man. We were singing R&B, and don't you forget that.
Well, meanwhile, he was on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
right,
doing an a cappella doo-wop song about a month ago. Little Anthony and the Imperials.
Yeah. Well, you know, Clarence and Anthony don't talk too much anymore, and that's a shame because they've been childhood friends since they're 5 years old. And, you know, I have this theory, and it says this. Nobody wants to hear your bullshit from, like, 30 years ago and who looked at who the wrong way. Shut up and sing. Just get out there and sing because everybody just wants to be filled with the music, you know.
Yeah. It's rough when people get emotional about things that only affect them and it don't affect anyone else. So
yeah, I know.
It takes away from all the luxury of great, great music.
Yeah, but then, you know, somebody said to me too in an interview, they said once, you know, but you got to understand that sometimes people will say or do things that change your whole life. And it's hard to forgive that, you know, because your whole life has changed because of a decision that somebody made or somebody. I said, yeah, you know, it's tough, but really and truly, when you do something as great as having all those hits with a bunch of guys, that's so much a spiritual experience, and you need to save it and hold it because, you know, the fans that don't even know you are holding on to it. So you guys need to hold on to it too. I'm just saying, you know, in general. you know.
Well, you have to be a serious adult and mature in reference to understand what you're saying, because a lot of people just have their own personal problems and they take their personal problems out on their professional life, which destroys the a beautiful situation.
Right, right. We go back to Goldner and that kind of thing. And then, of course, Morris Levy took over a lot of Goldner stuff. And, you know, once again, if you talk to Jimmy Merchant or Herman about Morris Levy, they look at you like you said a four-letter word. So,
well, you know. I did not realize that I only saw one person. I didn't know that Morris Levy was in the background.
Right.
And, you know, and sort of like putting the end and Gone Records in his pocket, basically.
Right.
You know, while George was building it, I think Morris was just setting it up to be his, you know, seemingly.
Right.
From what I heard. But the point of it is, I didn't know anything about all that stuff until, actually, I got a call from Morris one day to say, would you tell B. Castlin to stop trying to work this copyright out. So the copyright was Daddy's Home, and he says Daddy's Home is same thing as 1,000 miles away.
Right.
And he says I'm going to take the copyright, but if she keeps fighting me, I'm going to take the copyright and her whole company because she doesn't know what the you know the business and whatnot. And
right.
B. Castlin called me and wanted to know what should she do. I said, "Hey, he says this is what it is. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm not a, I was not a, an expert. I was pretty still young at that time, and I was not an expert about publishing and writing and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So the only thing I could tell her is just to, you know, do the best you can. But Morris Levy knew exactly what he was talking about and definitely did completely destroy her company.
Wow. That's a messy. I didn't know that, but there is a name in there, and this I'll mention the name to you in a second. I got the greatest rejection letters from this guy years ago when I was young. His name is Joe Kolsky. He was in the middle of all of that stuff. He was the sweetest guy in the world.
We used to have fights. Joe Kolsky and I used to have fights all the time about getting advances and getting money. And finally, we took him one on a trip that. We were going to go to Nashville to do some kind of heavy promotion.
Right.
And we just took the money and went home and sat down and forgot all about it.
Huh, that's funny because he wrote great rejection letters, I remember. And most guys
would. Oh, yeah.
Most record
Joe
companies.
Joe Kolsky was one of a kind. Joe Kolsky was one of a kind. He was the sales manager for Roulette Records.
Right. I know. Most record companies wouldn't even write your rejection letters. They would just like throw it, you know, they'd throw it at the other end of the desk, you know, your little recording. And in those days, it was you know, a little tape recording. They listened.
That was probably the only legitimate thing that they did is put out rejection letters.
Yeah. They'd listen to the first 10 seconds of it and then they'd throw it on the other end of the desk, or they wouldn't listen at all. Just to get them to listen, you really had to be like floated
in.
Yeah,
well, you don't have it in the first 10 seconds, it's no good, you know.
Right, right. But just to get them to listen, and you know, because I didn't have 6 hits already. I had nothing. So, you know, just to get them to listen was good, you know, in those days.
Yeah,
so it was good.
Yeah. I got you.
I Won't Be the Fool Anymore, one of my favorite tunes. And again, you know, the Heartbeats, man, they steal your heart. They steal your heart with every tune.
You want me to love you, I don't know why. I used to love you, but you said goodbye. No, I won't,
no, I won't
be the fool.
Be the fool.
No, I won't,
no, I won't
be the fool.
Be the fool anymore.
You want me to kiss you and hang around just so I miss you.
yesterday I fell. Your kisses used to thrill me through and through. You taught me all I know, and you taught me oh so well, that I can see exactly what you're trying to do. You want me to warn you, want me to care, just so I'll miss you when you're there. No, I won't.
No, I won't
be the fool.
Be the fool.
No, I won't.
No, I won't
be the fool.
Be the fool anymore.
Created on that. Uh-huh. It's like something special, and it feels, it rolls and feels nice with the song itself, you know?
Right.
And not too many people can do that.
Right.
That kind of a thing.
No, I know. Stars in the Sky and Tell Me is another tune. I mean, you know, it's just amazing. I would imagine that there are even diehard Heartbeats fans that are still not aware of how many tunes you guys recorded.
It's well, just we used amazing. To go to shows and we used to get requests for a lot of the songs we didn't really plan to sing, you know, on those particular shows. We got requests for a lot of little songs that we basically planned to sing the big songs, you know, the ones that were the biggest ones on the charts.
Right.
And we used to get a lot of requests for songs that were little songs to us, but big songs to our fans.
Right, right, right. Lonely Lover, that's not a tune that gets played so often on the radio.
I'm a lonely lover, searching for romance. Won't somebody hear my cry and give me a chance? My heart is filled with memories of the love I had before. I'm begging and pleading for a new love who will love me forevermore. Oh, somebody hear my cry and give me a chance.
Yeah, that's a special one too.
You know what's really what's really funny is that a lot of the stations that were big FM stations, including Sirius, I mean, they got rid of all their 50s DJs from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, of course, Brucey is still on the 60s channel. But only the guys that are pre-recording are being used by Sirius right now, like Cool Bobby B and some of those guys. And it's interesting that people are actually going to the internet to hear their R&B and their doo-wop oldies. you know.
They're forcing you to go to the internet. The thing is that the average executive in the major stream of the record business and whatnot don't have a clue about our music.
No, they're all 24 years old.
And they don't want to have a clue because they're told it's not important. And because of that, that's why number one, they're losing so much money because they don't think of the things that happened in the past. They don't even know what the catalog. They have a great catalog.
Right.
They don't even work their catalog because they don't know who the artists are. They don't know anything about the music.
No, that's
true. It's like kindergarten kids running record companies, you know, and only wants the young kid and a rock and roll and whatever. They want anything that's young and brand new and fresh, which is like great, but it has nothing to do with the sustaining of, let's say, selling millions and millions of dollars worth of catalog that still people love and love to hear and love to buy.
I am emceeing Albanese's shows here in Florida. We have one coming up October 25th, which is going to be a nice show, and I usually emcee his shows down in Florida. My Harmony Street group was the first group ever to step on a stage for Robin and Laura Albanese back at Queens College way, way back. And he actually never forgot that. That was a big show. There were probably about 15 groups on that show. I can't even remember all the groups that were on that show, but it was way back. 500 Miles to Go. Tell me about that tune. How did that come about?
That came about when we were recording for George it was Rama G, combination. I think it might have still been Rama,
right.
Not G. And we did, that as sort of like, believe it or not, like a follow-up to 1,000 Miles Away.
Right,
we had 500 Miles to Go.
Right.
Was like, halfway.
Yep.
For the 1,000 Miles Away.
Right.
Telegrams, cablegrams, all of them say, I hope to be with you, my darling, summer day. On my knees, dear, I pray, please forgive me, dry by your eyes, that I had to say bye-bye. I hope to be with you very soon. You be the bride, I'll be the groom. Cross your fingers and look above. I'll be at home, I swear my love. Half the way home, my darling. 500 miles left to go. If you wait for me, my dear, I'll swim the sea, crawl through the snow. Hope to be with you very soon. Please wait for me. I'll be the groom. Cross your fingers and look above. I'll be home, I swear my love.
After New Year's Eve, tell me about that tune.
After New Year's Eve was our dedication to the Christmas holidays and the year being finished and getting ready for the new year. So New Year's Eve is over. Let's, you know, have fun and enjoy ourselves and get ready for the new year is what that was all about.
Now
we wanted to have a song that ended the year. You know, it's like that, da, 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 that song, you know.
Right.
This was our song in that capacity as far as ending the holiday season.
Gotcha.
New Year's Eve is over. I had a nice time. I'm with my baby now, and everything's fine. Did you have a ball on New Year's Eve? To the one you love, did you tell her that you'll always be the one you're thinking of? Did you have a ball on New Year's Eve? But baby, not too soon. 365 days and maybe a honeymoon. New Year's Eve is over. I had a nice time. I'm with my baby now, and everything's fine. Did you have a ball on New Year's Eve?
It will come again, but baby, not too soon. 365 days and maybe a
Now, you did some recording with the Solitaires as well.
I did a song, a walking bass song, I guess they call it,
right,
with the Solitaires, because the day set of the Solitaires was incarcerated at that time and could not make the session.
Right.
And Jaime had the session set to do, to get it done, and he asked me would I do him a favor and fill in for the guys, and I said, sure, I would love to, you know, I'd do it, you know, like, they're all friends of mine, you know, like, at the time, Buzzy and all of them were the
right.
original guys, I knew all the original guys, you know.
Right.
So, that's what happened, you know, I just did them a favor, you know.
That's cool.
Yes, I'm walking, whoa, 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 whoa. this is the way I must say it.
As I'm walking, yes, I'm walking. Oh, 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 oh. Ooh, just talking. And I pray, dear, there'll be no one else. I'm in misery. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Down on My Knees. There's another tune that, you got to put in that bag of tunes that all the other groups want to sing.
Down on my knees.
Down on my knees.
Oh, when troubles arise. Somebody please,
somebody please,
hear my cry. Send my baby back home. I didn't mean to treat you wrong.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I took Dedicated to the One I Loved, or gave it to Florence and Doris,
right,
for the Shirelles,
right,
very much later on. But the point of it is, while we were traveling in the South and doing shows in different parts of the South, we liked the Southern feeling that the James Brown and the Five Royals and different groups like that was doing. So we thought we'd do something sort of like in that vein, you know, like a feeling of a bluesy type R&B, song.
Right. Now, you did not just record for Scepter Records. You were doing an awful lot of business with them, too, and producing and getting acts for them and shaping acts up. Can you tell me about your relationship with Scepter Records?
Well, I left Fire and Fury, which was Bobby Robinson,
right,
after we had Kansas City by Wilbert Harrison and several others. Several hits. I took a company that was going out of business and developed them to do over $200,000 a month in billing before I left. And Florence asked me, would I please help her to promote the Shirelles.
Right.
And I said, yeah, I would love to, you know. It was a time where Fats and Bobby were fighting each other, stealing from each other, and going crazy in the office. So I was glad to leave and go to Scepter.
Uh-huh.
That's how it happened. I was at 271 West 125th Street, Fury Records, and made it a million-dollar company within about a year or less.
Wow, wow.
And then I went to Scepter and started the same thing, made them a $7 to $15 million company within a couple of years after that.
Wow, because, and you know, having Luther Dixon around, and you told me that you actually brought Luther over to Scepter.
Yep, he was working for Roosevelt Music at the time, and we were in the same building, 1650 Broadway, and so I said, Luther, you know, you just did 16 Candles, and you're a great writer, and I heard a lot of his other songs and stuff like that. I said, Florence is looking for a producer for the Shirelles, so let me take you to Florence and see if we can do business, you know, immediately, Florence fell in love with Dixon, you know, in reference to his ability and what he's capable of doing, and we started working together.
Well, it's too bad that you and Luther and the Shirelles and Shirley didn't have any luck with that. It's just too bad. It's a crying shame.
Well, you know, I think we had at least 10 top 10 records with the Shirelles.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, we had Chuck Jackson and the Isley Brothers, Twist and Shout.
Right.
You know, all tremendous stories that came about and all those things are tremendous stories.
Right. Well, you know, I told you I've always been scratching my head trying to figure out what Chuck Jackson was doing, and I spoke to his manager last week, Phil Brown. He's in Texas, and he said to me, yep. We're going to get you, Chuck, so maybe next week or the week after I'll be talking to Chuck, which would be nice. I'm going to mention that I spoke to you, and he'll probably tell me the tail end of all of that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is that Luther Dixon and Burt Bacharach songs made Chuck Jackson very big. You know, it's there was another writer with Burt Bacharach at that time that did Any Day Now.
Right, right. Yep.
I can't think of his name right now, but he's a great, great writer also. This one song was written with another gentleman that wrote Alice in Wonderland or something like that. Huge writer also. But the point of it is that Chuck had great songs and great arrangements and feelings, and that's what made him. Plus, he could perform well, so he was a great performer.
Right.
So the combination of that is what made Chuck Jackson a great artist. But it started with the song and the production and the promotion and marketing that made it real, you know?
Yep, yep. Now, I was at the Brooklyn Fox, I remember the day, and I think Tom Jones was on that show, I think Dion was on that show, maybe the Times were on that show, and out walks this girl. And she had like a number one hit, and the tune was Don't Make Me Over. It was Dionne Warwick. And everybody went, whoa, what a song, you know, yada, yada, yada. Tell me about that song.
That was my worst nightmare. I hated that song, and I hated the record. It was my first Dionne Warwick record. It was my first Burt Bacharach Hal David production. He mixed it about 37 times.
Wow.
And I still hated it, but the point of it is it was a great song, and I took Dionne on the road to develop it and make it happen.
Uh-huh.
And eventually it became a hit, but it was like a work record, and it was a record that just sounded so different that I just hated it. It didn't sound like any other record I had in the catalog, you know. So, but, you know, Don't Make Me Over is a great, great song.
Yeah, but, you know, that was one of those tunes that, you know, the ladies kind of embraced and said, hey, you know, I feel that way sometimes, too. You know, there was a message in there, too. You know, accept me for the things that I am. Accept me for the things that I say and do.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a fabulous song. Great song. It's just the sound of the record.
Yeah.
The arrangement of the record. It was so different.
Yeah.
You know, it was completely different. If you listen to the top 10 songs I had with the Shirelles compared to Dionne Warwick's Don't Make Me Over, it sounded like I went from, you know, Asia to Switzerland or someplace, you know. Like, it was so different. It like annoyed the heck out of me. I said, where is this coming from, you know? But the point of it is, the song was a great, great song. It really had a tremendous message.
Right. And did you produce and get involved with some of her latest stuff after that as well? Different sides of, you know, one side of the microphone, the other side of the microphone, you know, which is great. Not too many guys have had that experience. We're still going back to 59, 1 Million Years, great tune.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do thing that I would wear. You didn't write or call. You didn't care at all. From the start, time has erased you from my heart. The hours felt like days, oh, the days just like years. I found somebody new.
What could I do?
1 million years too late. What made you think that I would wait? You didn't write or call.
Now, Darling, I Want to Get Married. Now, somebody told me you wrote that tune.
Let's get married.
I'm tired of life, of running around.
Yeah, I wrote that with Benny Benjamin, believe it or not, who is one of the greatest writers in the world.
Uh-huh.
But I basically wrote the song, and they took most of it. You know, Billy and he had a partner also. But the point of it is, it was a song I wrote about my first wife, you know, many, many years ago.
Right.
You know, let's get married, you know, type of thing, and it's time to get married and all that, you know.
Right,
so
right.
That's how that song came about. We wrote it, and I took it in the studio and played it to Shep and everybody, and they said, yeah, let's do it.
Did she like it? Did she like it?
Oh, yeah. It was great. It's a great song. It's a great song.
Cool.
It's a special kind of song, and it's beautiful.
Right.
You know, it has a beautiful saxophone solo in the middle of it and the whole bit, you know.
If you don't mind, and, you know, I'm going to ask you about James Shepherd, you know, you guys are riding high and you're, you know, just recording and everybody's loving your sound and, you know, you're the quintessential R&B group and other groups are copying you and, you know, it's a great ride. What happened that started it off in another direction when it started spiraling in a different direction, spiraling
Gordon,
down?
Gordon's Gin. Gordon's Gin. You know Gordon's Gin?
Yeah.
You know what that is? It's a gin that Shep loved, and he would drink a fifth or two-fifths before we'd start the show.
Right, right.
And it was not helping the show, and it was not helping him, and it just became a problem.
Wow. You know, but, I mean, was he doing that originally when you guys were you know, at the beginning?
No.
He just couldn't handle the limelight.
Well, the thing is that he eventually destroyed himself with drinking, and the thing is that he probably had a lot of, let's say, I know that Shirley left him and went to Texas, and that's how 1,000 miles away came about.
Uh-huh.
And, everybody was like was fine, except maybe he had emotional problems that we didn't know about. That it was disturbing him and bothering him, and he took it out on the business
right.
by being drunk when he went on stage. And so we made a rule: that if you have a time going on stage, we're going to just stop singing because we cannot
wow.
afford to be embarrassed and look stupid.
Right.
Because you stopped drinking.
Wow.
When he was drunk one last time at the Apollo Theater, and that was the last show we did.
Wow.
At the Apollo Theater. The last time he was drunk at the Apollo Theater, and we stopped singing. We didn't do another show for 45 years.
Wow. And you guys didn't think about getting another lead? I mean, I was thinking maybe the guys would feel, hey, you know, you're not going to stop us, you know.
No, we didn't even think like that. You know, it was like to us was like a sort of a sacred thing in reference to us as individuals and us of what we created together. And no outsider could be a part of what we did at that time.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, something of very special and precious to us, you know, and that's the way we looked at it. If it wasn't for Ronnie Ives, we would still have never sang again.
Wow.
He begged me for a couple of years to come back and get the award, you know, Harmony Award,
right.
stuff like that. You know, and it took couple of years to put that together for us to come into New York and get that award. And then after he saw us, then he started pushing us. And actually, he's the one that pushed us to sing for Rob Albanese. He
right.
pushed us on Rob Albanese. Rob Albanese is the
right.
is the only other promoter we worked for besides Ronnie Ives.
Wow, that's very cool.
Albanese is one of the great historians. historians of this music, and he is making the most out of it and making us look good. He is one of the important people in the growth of doo-wop, because he has maintained it, and he's maintained it at a quality that is, close to almost what needs to be done for the very near future. It's going to get better, but he has, let's say, developed it to the point where it makes it possible to be better. You know, he's like, he did it in the hard times. It's like the hard days.
Right.
He went through all the hard times maintaining this music in spite of the rest of the people in the world. He's like one of the most important parts of creating doo-wop music for life for the rest of the world.
Wow. That's
yeah, that's what happened.
Wow.
That's how it happened. Rob Albanese was, I guess, a very close friend of Ronnie Ives also.
Right.
And they're like, you know, it's like, that's what my life is all about, is like, sort of like, I have a very precious life to myself. You know, it doesn't mean nothing to anybody else. It just means something to me.
Right.
I like, feel good about things, and I treat things accordingly, and that's it.
I gotcha. Let's talk about some of the other things that you accomplished in the music business, because even though you stopped with the Heartbeats, you didn't stop being creative. You went on, and you were with ABC Dunhill after that.
I actually promoted and developed at least a couple of hundred close to gold and platinum records with different artists for different labels. I actually, at one time, was the sort of like the consultant to RCA, Columbia, Liberty UA, and another company at the time,
right.
Polygram also, where I did special promotion and marketing. I was like a troubleshooter for people that had problems with records. Let's say at that time, we didn't have the media going, we didn't have the social media like we have today.
Right.
So you could have a number one record in New York and it would be nothing in L.A. So
correct.
I used to have to break it in L.A. for them. And stuff like that, or they have a number one record in L.A. and can't get it going in New York, I would break it in New York for them and spread it across the country, because my involvement with radio was so heavy. In 1962, I was named the number one promotion man in the record industry.
Wow.
Because I had like 8 or 9 or 10 records on the top 100. And even major companies didn't have that many records on the top 100 as far as the size that I had, and that was Scepter Records, and Scepter Records was $25,000 going down for the third time when I started building it back up to $7 to $15 million in gross earnings.
Right. And of course, there was Three Dog Night at the beginning, and the Mamas and the Papas, and
it was more than that, but the president of Dunhill, first he had me to bring people that could do promotion and marketing for him. And I found, actually, one of the guys was a car dealer. He was a car salesman. And I brought two people in to do promotion and marketing for him. And also, I consulted him at that time in reference to the, not just the Three Dog Night and not just the Mamas and the Papas, but the guy that wrote the song Phoenix and stuff like that. We did all kinds of things with him. And stuff like that. It's like I did a lot of promoting and marketing of all kinds of music, and generated a lot of exposure for a lot of people, a lot of unknown people at that time,
right?
Which are very well known today.
We did a little talking, and you said that you're still actually looking for talent and staying creative. You have a group called Street Corner Renaissance.
A photographer, believe it or not, discovered this group and invited me into a meeting to see if I wanted to really do any work with them. And I listened to them and I said, "Yeah, I think they could do very good."
Right.
Would not be a problem in reference to making something out of them, because they could really sing.
Right.
Life could be a dream, life could be a dream. Shoo-doo-doo-doo, shaboom.
Life could be a dream if I could take you up to paradise up above, and you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom is hoping we meet again. Hell and ding dong, shalangala, langala, 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 whoa, 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 bib, shadow, ba do ba dib. Oh, life could be a dream. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, hey there, we'd be so fine.
Oh, life could be a dream. Shaboom, if I could take you up to paradise up above. Shaboom, tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, it's over, we meet again. Hey, honey, ding dong. Shalangala, langala, langala, langala. Oh, 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 bim. Shadoba, doba, dim. Oh, life could be a dream. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I tell you to, baby, we'd be so fine.
Oh, life could be a dream. Shaboom, if I could take you up to paradise up above.
This is the real deal.
You tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love.
You're the only
life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Shaboom, again, we meet again. Hey, honey, ding dong. Shalangala, langala, langala, langala. Oh, 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 bim. Shadoba, doba, dim. Oh, life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Darling dear, love you all the time. I'm just a fool, a fool in love with you. Forever and evermore. I'm just a fool, a fool in love with you. I fell for you and I knew the vision of your loveliness. I hope and I pray that someday that I'll be the vision of your happiness. Oh, oh, earth angel, earth angel, will you be mine? Darling dear, love you all the time. I'm just a fool, a fool in love with you.
Boom, ba-doom, ba-doom. Boom, ba-doom, ba-doom.
Renaissance, we are Renaissance.
Boom.
We sing all time to our
harmony.
From the days of old school, we're a big island history.
Oh, baby.
Let's stroll down the lake of memory.
There's a lineage before hip-hop. It was doo-wop. I was born singing in the church when I was 5 years old.
The street corner was where I was baptized singing this music.
We're gonna have a real good time. A doo-wop and by the street light.
First time I heard some acapella sing, because I was washing dishes. I was in sixth grade. The guys were strolling through the neighborhood singing their songs.
I always loved the voices, harmonized. Always loved that.
As the opening act for Kool & the Gang, before a crowd of 65,000 in Texas, they were spectacular.
This song was done in 1956 in New York. And this brother sitting next to me is the legendary Wally Roker, who was the bass singer for the Heartbeats. Not the Five Heartbeats, the original Heartbeats.
Arnold Tesh and Bill Wood. The two people. Bill Wood is the one that convinced me to come to the meeting, him and his wife, Lee Wood, and make a decision to take on the development and break this act into the world. I've had over 100 gold and platinum records of other artists that I have developed over the last 45 years. We're all part of a company called New Beginnings Productions, LLC. We love the music, we're going to do the music, and we're going to do business in reference to doing this music.
And one thing that's really significant is the fact that we have ownership in this new business. We're not just artists. So we have the opportunity to grow in terms of our business opportunities also.
At a Park City, Utah venue, they were honored to be the special guest performers and the only other act on the bill with legendary rocker Chuck Berry, as a crowd of 7,500 sang their praises and begged for more.
We pride ourselves in the fact that we sing real a cappella music. Our music is raw. We don't need an orchestration. We don't need a musical director. We just need some microphones and some people in front of us.
And the number one record-selling male R&B singing group of all time, Boyz II Men, recognized their talents when they invited them not once, but twice, to open for them at separate California concerts. And that was only at the beginning of their amazing career as a group.
This opportunity, this company called New Beginnings, to me it's like finding a genie in a bottle. It's an opportunity that was presented and said, we're going to give you one wish, and we'll allow you to live your dreams. And it's allowing me to continue this doo-wop journey that we've been on and to expose this music. And we're here. You know, we got all of this in front of us. Wardrobe, cameras, lights, opportunity.
A cappella doesn't get any better than this. Never before has it been as engaging. Here to lead the new revolution. All a cappella, all the time. Because all they need is the human voice. Introducing Street Corner Renaissance. After suffering through life's realities, compromised careers, and dreams deferred, these five distinguished gentlemen took the plunge and embarked upon a fantastic voyage as they dared to dream the impossible dream one more time.
Tell the story. Bring it right around that corner.
Our purpose, our calling, if you will, and we've taken the mantle and wrapped it around our shoulders, and we're out and about doing what we've been called to do.
Street Corner Renaissance was born, creating a unique and consistent sound with a brand new CD chock full of vintage memories. The group has delighted audiences in clubs, theaters, educational institutions, cruises, and venues across America and abroad. Not just another singing group, Street Corner Renaissance intertwines social and cultural awareness themes in their music, offering food for the spirit as well as the soul.
I want to let it sing and swear.
Give me water.
Jesus
gave me water.
Jesus gave me water.
Gave me
living love and lust in water, and it was not in the way.
Whether it's a soul-stirring tribute to the legendary Sam Cooke, love songs for the ladies, Black History-themed conscious music, classic R&B, or a rousing gospel celebration, their superb vocal skills and passion shines through. Never has the Street Corner looked as good or sounded as sweet. See why audiences across the country have joined the revolution. Book Street Corner Renaissance for your next event.
Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. She boom, it's over, we meet again. Hell, ding dong,
So the family put up the financial money to put it together, and we started a little label called New Beginnings.
Uh-huh.
And then I produced the songs and, you know, put it all together and created a tremendous buzz on them. In fact, they just opened up for Jay Leno at the Carinas Theater.
Wow.
So, yeah, and there's several other groups that, I could possibly work with that I haven't done yet.
Right.
But there's another group called the Dukes of Doo-Wop, which I'm trying to make them the Royal Dukes of Doo-Wop so that they could be independent for real.
Where are they? Are they in California group?
Yeah, they're in California.
Right.
They're in L.A.
Gotcha.
But I understand there's one in Florida also called the Dukes of Doo-Wop. So
yes, I know who they are, yeah. There is.
That's why I want to change their names to the Royal Dukes of Doo-Wop, make them different, make them special.
I hear you as far as that's concerned.
You have to stay with it and make sure you do the right thing to make it happen.
No, I understand. Although the business has changed so much.
Not just doing it, is knowing how to do it and knowing why you're doing it, you know?
Right.
There's always the first thing in anything is a great song.
Right.
If you get a great song, but then you have to know how to market it and promote it.
Right.
If you don't know how to market it and promote it, you can have the greatest record, the greatest song, and the greatest anything, but nobody will know about it but you. Promotion is easier than when I was doing promotion, it's hard.
Really?
Today, promotion is much easier.
All right.
You just have to have the right thing and know how to follow through on it and do the right thing.
I got you.
It's easier to break a number one record today than it was 20 years ago.
Okay. What is your favorite Heartbeats tune?
My favorite Heartbeats tune. Well, I Won't Be a Fool Anymore.
Uh-huh.
And,
Yeah, you could pick five of them.
I'm just going to pick one. Oh, I think cool. I won't be the fool anymore. You know, is sort of like very special.
Right. Is there any...
We love them all. You know, we love all the songs that we've done.
Right.
All the songs we've done is very special and very great. So
we love
them all. So they're all special songs. They're all different and special. There's just a couple that we did on the end that we had really extra emotions and feelings in reference to life, you know, in general, that we did.
Right.
That are very special. All I would like people to know is that doo-wop is here to stay, and doo-wop is going to be probably just as big as it was back in the 50s, because doo-wop in the 50s were the number one music, you know, on the scene. It was the pop record, the R&B record, and whatever. And I think if we keep pushing like we're pushing, it's going to come back to be the same thing again. I think doo-wop will be the pop record and the R&B record, and you know, the song of the years, you know, type of thing. The songs will be just as great as they were years ago. You know, Sincerely, Goodnight Sweetheart, you know, and all those kind of things, you know, that was happening back in those days. I think it's going to happen again in the future, in the very near future.
I agree with you. What would you say to Heartbeats fans that were going to your shows way back then and have all those Heartbeats tunes in their record collection and are still avid Heartbeats fans? What would you say to those people?
We love them, and we hope that they can live as long as they can listening to our songs, and we enjoy, let's say, doing it for them whenever we have the opportunity, and we just would be very happy that they are enjoying the things that we did. It's like a feeling of gratitude that they cannot imagine, that how much we feel, how good we feel about them liking our stuff, you know?
Right. Well, I'm a fan and always have been. Thank goodness for you guys. Wally, thank you so much for taking out time to tell me your story, tell me the story of the Heartbeats. I really appreciate having you on the Harmony Street Show, and it's been a pleasure.
Well, it's been my pleasure to be a part of a true, true doo-wop fan and a fan of ours, and giving us the opportunity to let everybody know that we feel very strong about them, just like they feel about us. We're very happy to have the fans and the people to love us, and we love them back more than they can ever love us based on just appreciating what we've done.
That's great. That's great. You have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, buddy.
You know,
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
And I'll be talking.
I wish you the best. Yeah, you take care, my man.
All right, Wally.
Take care of yourself, and call me if you need me for anything, okay?
Thanks, man. Thank you much.
I never will forget those words you whispered. I still remember yet. Oh, said you'd always love me until the day I die. There never will be no secret that you would try to hide. And when you told the preacher those magic words I knew, and then you grasped my hand and said that I love you. Those wedding bells fill my heart with joy, and hope that he above will bless our little boy. I never will forget those words you whispered. I still remember yet. Said you'll always love me until the day I die. There never will be no secrets that you would try to hide. And when you told the preacher the magic words I do, and when you grasp my hand and say that I love you. Those wedding bells fill my heart with joy, and I hope that he above will bless our little boy.
Where the green grass grow, blum, blum. There they stand doing the old mambo. Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? No, I love you so. I can't do without you. You'll never know. You'll never know. I love you so. Don't you know? 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 No, I love you so. Don't you know I love you? Don't you know you? Don't you know I love you? Really? Don't you know? 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 No, I love you so. Blah 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 bl don't break my heart, I don't ever leave. Don't you leave, don't you know I leave, don't you know I leave. Don't you know that you know, don't you know that you know, I love you so.
Take your hands off my baby, she don't belong to you. She's my sweetie, and I know she's true. You're sticking around to see what you can do. Her lips are like a sugar, they will make you scream. If you had a chance, you would know what I mean. Don't you mess with my baby, don't you try to scheme. She's got that rock, and she's got that roll. She knows what to do whenever you're cold. Mess with my baby, do as you've been told. Yeah, get away.
one day next year.
One day next year. I'm longing to kiss and hold you tight, darling. I dream of you every night. Please wait for me. I hope you'll be there. Please say you care.
Once again, Rob and Laura Albanese have put together a fantastic show, A Night of Music and Memories. Please come and see us October 25th, 2014 at 7 o'clock at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Call 954-462-0222. Yours truly will be hosting this show, starring the Dupreez, singing their 1950s ballad, You Belong to Me. Of course, with the Dupreez fabulous big band arrangement.
Hi, this is Tony Chester from the Dupreez.
Barbara Lewis, who, by the way, wrote all of the songs on her debut LP, including her smash hit, Hello Stranger. Norman Fox and the Rob Roys, singing their fabulous hits, such as Dream Girl and Pizza Pie Yai Yai.
Hi, this is Norman Fox from the Rock Boys.
My good friend Lenny Dell, original lead singer of the Dimensions from the Bronx, New York.
Hi, this is Lenny Dell of the Dimensions.
And of course, Jimmy Charles, who can forget his fabulous smash hit, A Million to One. Please come and see us October 25th, 2014. At 7 o'clock, LAR Enterprises, the Parker Playhouse, 707 Northeast 8th Street in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Call 954-462-0222 or www.parkerplayhouse.com. The Dupreez, Barbara Lewis, Jimmy Charles, Norman Fox and the Rob Roys, and the Dimensions, with yours truly as your MC. Paulette and I will be there. You be there too.
I've loved you right from the start.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be, remember all the love we found,
ooh, on Harmony Street, ooh, there was a place
we
that we used to go, when we were feeling down,
and
we were low. We couldn't believe our eyes
when
we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find
we really cared?
We looked into each other's heart and found the road was free and clear. Harmony Street.
Oh,
yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. We couldn't believe our eyes
when
we were
there.
Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's eyes.
Street.
Oh, yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. Somehow we found our love
drifting away.
There was nothing I could do,
nothing
to say. We looked into each other's eyes and found a lonely thoroughfare on Harmony Street.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be, remember all the love we found
on Harmony Street.
Open up your heart, recall how